some teachings. He's given them the answers to their questions in 1 Corinthians 11. Now, as we come into this, we are remembering that he keeps illustrating a point. He God and what God wants, and understanding this is God's design, this is God's way of doing it, we will have the wrong mindset when we come to this principle. Do you know this principle is a controversial thing in our world today, what we're going to look at? We have our Women's Lib movement. We have the feminist movement. We have all these groups that are coming and attacking. We're having these groups coming in the church. And we're saying, well, this principle that Paul's giving to the church at Corinth is not for today. It is if we understand this principle. Because God's design, the way God designed it, is not just in this principle, and not just in this portion of Scripture, the church at Corinth. This principle has been taught from the beginning of time. But the problem is, we don't understand this principle. And we don't have the mindset to follow after God. Because we think this principle is saying something that's not saying. We think this principle gives people the right to act certain ways to certain other people that it doesn't. So this morning, I ask that you have a desire to follow God and understand the principle that God has given us. And as we look at this morning, because you want to glorify God, that you want to see what does God truly have to say in regards to this area this morning. Be able to please stand with me, 1 Corinthians chapter 11. We'll read verses 1 through verse 16 this morning, and we'll get right into this message, God's design. Be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. Now I praise you, brethren, that ye remember me in all things, and keep the ordinances as I deliver them to you. But I would have you know that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of the woman is the man, and the head of Christ is God. Every man praying or prophesying, having his head covered, dishonoreth his head. But every woman that prayeth or prophesieth with her head uncovered, dishonoreth her head. For that is even all one as if she were shaven. For if the woman be not covered, let her also be shorn. But if it be a shame for a woman to be shorn or shaven, let her be covered. For a man indeed ought not to cover his head, for as much as he is the image and glory of God. But the woman is the glory of the man. For the man is not of the woman, but the woman of the man. Neither was the man created for the woman, but the woman for the man. For this cause ought the woman to have power on her head because of the angels. Nevertheless, neither is the man without the woman, neither the woman without the man in the Lord. For as the woman is of the man, even so is the man also by the woman, by all things of God. Judging yourselves, is it comely that a woman pray unto God uncovered? Doth not even nature itself teach you that if a man have long hair, it is a shame unto him? But if a woman have long hair, it is a glory to her, for her hair is given her for a covering. But if any man seem to be contentious, we have no such custom, neither the churches of God. Heavenly Father, we love you. We thank you for your word. And Lord, as we look at your word this morning, I pray that you would just illuminate your scriptures to us. Lord, that you would give us a clear understanding of the truths that you want us to glean. We pray in Jesus' precious and holy name. Amen. You may be seated. Look at verse 3. It says, but I would have you know that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of every woman is the man, and the head of Christ is God. Here's the principle that is stated. He says, I would have you to know. I want you to understand a truth that I have not taught upon yet. This is a truth. If you get a full understanding of the authority within the church and the authority within the home and the authority within the community, that this will help you live a life that is pleasing to God. The problem is this. In that day and age, what was happening is women in that day, and especially in Corinth, were mistreated. They weren't of any value in that day. They didn't have any freedom, any ability to do anything. And then once those individuals got saved, had a relationship, a true relationship with the true God, once they had that, then they had some freedom. They had some abilities to do things, and they were different. But the problem is, they took that freedom, and they ran with it. Remember, Christian liberty we've been talking about is limited by love. And remember, this whole idea of Christian liberty that Paul's been addressing goes back to even the idea, I have the right to eat meat. But if I have the right to eat meat and it offends someone else, then I don't do it. I don't use my Christian liberty to purposely offend someone else. It might be lawful, but it's not expedient. Remember, that principle was given in chapter 6, also given in chapter 9, and that thought was continually taught there. And Paul's saying to them, yes, you have this liberty, and yes, you have some freedoms to the ladies, but now they're taking it, and they're running with this freedom. Because they're going to be involved in some activity we're going to look at that has to be done a certain way according to the word of God and according to even the customs of that day. Now, we see this. Paul explains God's design. He says, if Christ had not submitted to the will of God, redemption for mankind would have been impossible and would be doomed and lost. Christ had to what? Submit to the will of God. This is how he starts it. He says, all right, I want you to understand the principle I'm being given is not just a principle that I'm coming up with so I can push my agenda or I can get you to do what I want you to do and to get ladies to do what I want them to do. I want you to understand the concept that is given here. This concept and the principle stated, he says, you know what? Christ had to submit to the will of God. That idea of submitting is putting himself under the authority of another, doing what the other has asked him to do, but it's out of love for that individual. It is not out of tyranny. It's not out of force. It's out of love. If Christ did not submit to God, we're all be doomed. If individual human beings did not submit to Christ as Savior and Lord, they are doomed. So if Christ didn't submit to God, we're in trouble. If we didn't submit to Christ, then we'd be in trouble. What do you mean? Because I have to realize that I'm a sinner in need of a Savior. And I must submit to the authority of Christ to realize there must be a time in my life when I've called upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. That I submitted myself, that I need help. That I can't save myself, that I can't pull myself out of the miry pit, that I can't save my soul, I can't do good works, I can't do traditions, I can't do any of those things to bring about salvation in my life. I must submit to the will of God, I must submit to Him, submit to Christ, and receive Him as my Lord and my Savior. If I don't submit to Him, I'm in trouble. Do you know that's what pride does? You see, the opposite of submitting is pride. Pride says, I can get my way to heaven. Pride says, I can do this. No, submitting says, I understand the authority. I understand the design. I understand the plan. And I understand that Christ had to submit to God. And I must submit to Christ, who is submitting to God for my salvation. It also says in that portion of scripture we read, here's it stated, if a woman do not submit to men, then their families and society as a whole are disrupted and destroyed. The authority and submission of each of these, even a lady submitting to a husband, and we're going to talk about it. We're not defining it yet. We're going to get into defining what this means because Paul goes and explains this. And he's going to give us an understanding, and he's going to illustrate this illustration with another illustration, all right? And it's going to be the window to open it for us to see what is being said there. But this idea of authority are elements part of God's plan. He says the head. This is referring to the ruling part and sovereign part of the body. Christ is the head of every man. He is uniquely the head of the church as its Savior and Lord. He is the source of spiritual life. He is the ultimate control of all men, now and forever. The woman, this principle applies to all men and women, not just to husband and wives. God's design is for the woman to be under the leadership of the man. God's plan for creating Eve was to be a help to Adam. This does not mean that ladies have no importance or no worth or no value, no ability, no intelligence. Women play a vital role in the home, the church, and society. This is the idea that you submit to the leadership, not the dictatorship. You submit to the leadership, the spiritual leadership in the home, to follow God out of love, not out of tyranny, that you follow after God. This is the idea. It says to have order and function, change of command. All right? Now, we all know in any type of situation, you got to have a chain of command. What happens if someone in your job that you had decides to bypass some of the order of command and go to different sources and different, what happens to everything there? It falls apart, right? Because there's a proper way to handle things within the home or within the job or within the community, within that. The idea is this. The man is created not to be a dictator. The man is created to have love for his wife and love for his family, to rule his family in a way in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. That means to have the proper leadership in the home, to guide his family, direct his family, persuade his family to live for God and follow God's way of doing it. The husband is to be the spiritual leader in the home, getting the family to understand the truths of the Word of God and showing the love for his family that he's going to do everything within his ability and within his power to point those family members, those individuals, to the Lord. That's what it is. And the wife, the lady, not just husband and wife. Paul was not just talking about husband and wife. He was talking to all men and all ladies because he was talking about society. He was talking about the church. He was talking about the home. He was talking to all aspects. He says even within the church, the men are to be the spiritual leaders in the church. Because the men are to help out of love for one another set the right stage within the church to follow God. Not that women can't have a role in the home, in the church. Do you know there are certain things that women can do better than men? I'm going to admit that. And God has created them to do that. But it doesn't mean that the women are to be the spiritual leaders in the church. Now, I'm sorry. In most churches, the ladies are because men aren't doing their part. But that's not God's design. God's design is not for the ladies to say, hey, we need to start doing this in the church. It's God's design that the men say, hey, we need to step up to the plate and we need to be men and we need to say, this is what we need to do and this is what we ought to be doing in the church and in our homes. And then as the men do that in the church and the men do that in the home, then the ladies say, we're going to follow that leadership, we're going to follow that guidance, and we're going to do those things. You see, to have order in the functioning, the things there, the fact that God designed man to lead, does that mean that man is superior to woman? All right? We've heard this today in the Women's Lib and the feminist movement, that men think they're better than us. Men think they're superior than us. Now, ladies, I'm going to say something. You may be smarter than your husband. You may be better looking than your husband. You may have more intelligence than your husband. You may have more spiritual maturity than your husband. But out of love, you must surrender your will to follow the leadership of the man God has given you. Now, let me tell you, Brother Brian, I don't know what you did right to get such a wonderful individual that you have. I mean, who would fall in love with a face like that except your mother? I mean, I don't want to be mean or unkind, but could you imagine? But the idea is this. Even though the ladies could be that way. And let me tell you, we have very talented individual ladies in this church. We have some that have a lot more intelligence than some of us others, all right? Can understand things a lot better than we can understand. But God's design is for what? The lady not to say, well, I'm just not worth anything. Or I'm just not important. I can't. No. It is to say, out of love for God and a love for my husband, I'm going to follow the leadership, and out of love for men, I'm going to follow the leadership. You see, in our day and age, ladies have almost a hatred for anyone of authority. And let me just say this. We all have a hatred for authority in our day and age. We don't want to be told what to do. We don't want anyone to lead us certain ways. We want to be the ones leading. We don't. Have you seen this in our culture today? With God's design is not this way, but have you seen it? A lady could tell another lady something and they'll listen to the lady. But if a guy says something, who do you think you are to tell me what to do? I don't need no man to tell me what to do. Now, the idea is this. God's design is not to put the lady down. God's design was the understanding and the knowledge of that there needs to be that leadership to guide and direct people in the right direction. God's the head of Christ. And Christ is God. Christ submitted himself to his Father's will in order to fill the role as the Redeemer and Savior of mankind. Now, Christ's obedience and submission to God the Father will enable him to fulfill God's purpose. And by us submitting to God and the lady submitting to the husband will help us to fulfill the purpose God has called us to. Did you get that? God, Christ, who did what he was supposed to do, fulfilled the purpose that was sent to him, that he was here. The husband, if we submit to God's authority, will fulfill the purpose that God has called us to. And if the lady will submit to the purpose God has called and submit to the authority God has given us, they will fulfill the purpose God has for them. Because ultimately, all of us are created for what purpose? Go back to chapter 10. To glorify God. And so the husband and wife relationship, the man and the woman relationship, the relationship between the man and God is for the purpose of what? Glorifying God. The whole purpose we're here is to glorify God. And this is why he's trying to get the church of Corinth to understand. There's tension in the church of Corinth because this person now has freedom because a lady can actually say something now. The lady actually has some rights, if you will, some freedom. Now they're taking extreme and saying, well, I'm a woman, and now I'm not going to let anyone tell me what to do anymore like they used to do, and I used to have to take a back seat, and now I'm going to go the other extreme. Paul says, no, that's not what God's intent is. God's intent is something far greater. So we see the principle stated. But let's look at this principle applied. Look at verse 4 to verse 6. Every man praying or prophesying, having his head covereth, dishonoreth his head. But every woman that prayeth or prophesieth with her head uncovered, dishonoreth her head. For that is even all one, as if she were shaven. For if the woman be not covered, let her also be shorn. But if it be a shame for a woman to be shorn or shaven, let her be covered. All right, Paul is referring to some activities that were done in ministry before the Lord and public. And he's talking about praying. He's talking about to God. Praying is talking to God. Prophesying is talking to people about God. One is vertical, the other is horizontal. And he says, man disgraces this and woman disgraces this if they're not doing it the way God has them to do it. Now, when they came and he's starting to give this and starting to illustrate this, he's teaching this principle here. He says, now, if you saw certain things, you would sit back and say, why is that being done? That's not how it's supposed to be done. Wait a second. Women aren't supposed to do this because if they come this way and they don't have their heads covered, we associate them with something else and they're not doing the God's activity. You see, in that day, most that would have a shaven head would be that which would result of prostitution, all right? That was a picture. You go, remember, in those days, the temple, even the pagan temples, what did they have going on? They had prostitution going on in those days. And those women usually had shaven or shorn heads, all right? This is the idea. And what he's saying is, what is happening is, you would laugh at this. You wouldn't understand this. It would disgrace if a man came in with his head covered. Because a lady is the one that comes in with the head covered. And the head covering shows a submission that is given there. And submission in the activities that you're involved in. But if you saw a man come with a head cover, you go, what's going on? What's taking place? And so as we see this, in the Corinthian society, a man's praying and prophesying without a head covering was a sign of his authority or leadership over the woman. For the man to wear these head coverings would be a disgrace because it suggested a reversal of the proper relationship. It showed a picture of going against God's design. You see, what was supposed to happen, going back to the principle stated, that the man is the spiritual leader. So if the man is a spiritual leader and he's praying or prophesying, that means if he's praying to God or he's talking to people about God, the man would not have a head covering, the woman would. But if the man had a head covering and the woman didn't, it shows a reversal of the role of God's design. Now, I'm going to be very careful in stating a few things this morning. God has a way of putting things in Scripture for us to follow because God knows better than us, all right? I may not understand it. I may not agree with it. But it doesn't change what's stated. One of the roles, and I know there might be some in this room that disagree with what I'm going to say. That's okay. But I want you to understand what Scripture says. One of the rules is this. God has given the church a pastor. It's called a pastor, an elder, a bishop. The Bible says in Scripture in the New Testament the qualifications of a pastor. It says a husband of one wife. All right, we're not going to get in. We're not going to debate everything. We're not going to get all this. But if we do that different, and I say, well, and some say, well, you got to go back to the original. Yeah, go back to the original. Let's look at it. Let's look at what it says. And what is the purpose? What is the leadership? Who is it supposed to be? And what does it mean, a husband and one wife? We can debate all that you want to debate. Just look at it for what Scripture says. Get our minds out of what we think already and what we want it to say, and just read for what it says. Okay? Here's the truth. If we change that, we change what? God's design. God's way of doing it. Is it saying that someone's less inferior or less important? No, it's not saying that. Does it say that someone can't do certain things? What it's saying is this. This is God's design. This is God's way of doing it. And if a man is going to prophesy, if a man's going to pray, if a man's going to do this in public, if a man's going to do these things, the man would not cover his head, because if he covers his head, he's associating himself in a different role than what God has called him to do. And if we're going to glorify God, we must fulfill the role God has called us to. That's what he's saying there. God has called you as a man to a certain role. And by you not doing that role, you're wearing a head covering. God has called you as a man to stand up and start leading the home as you're supposed to be leading the home. Do you know if you're not leading the home the way you ought to lead the home? Out of love for your family and showing them the way and leading them and guiding and directing them the way, you're putting the head covering on. I'm sorry. But it's sad that the ladies in our homes are more spiritual than the men in our homes. There's a problem with that. And by men not standing up and being men and living the way they ought to live. Now again, I'm not saying to be a jerk. That's nowhere in Scripture. I'm not saying to do mean things to your wife because you think you're better. That's not what it's talking about. But it's talking about when you're leading spiritually, you're praying, and you're talking to other people about God, that you are the man that you're supposed to be, or you're putting a head covering on. That's your role. That's your purpose. Ladies, your purpose is to follow the leadership that God's given you in the church, in the home, and in those places. Does it mean you can never say you don't like something? That's not what it's saying. It's saying that you have a love for that leadership that God has given you. And you are praying and you're seeking and you're following and saying, I'm going to submit to that authority that is given to me. And I'm going to follow that so we can serve God together and fulfill the purpose God has called us to. By you doing something different, you're taking the head covering off and shaving your head. There is a reason I shaved my head for this morning, just for this message. That was it. Shaving the head. I want to give an illustration because Paul uses illustration to illustrate illustration. So I want to illustrate the illustration by shaving my head for you. Thanks. And the idea is this. Such love. And the idea is this. The idea of a lady, and he's going to address this, and we're going to get into this more. The lady honoreth by her hair. And we're going to talk about what that means, Lord willing, a little later. And this is the idea. But shaving the head illustrated something that this lady was not. It is showing a picture it was not. And he says, by you doing this, you're reversing the roles that's given there. Now look at verse 7 to verse 10. For a man indeed ought not to cover his head, for as much as he is the image and glory of God, but the woman is the glory of the man. For the man is not of the woman, but the woman of the man. All right. Man doesn't originate from woman, but woman from man. Now this is getting into another controversial thing out in our world today of God's design. So let's look at Scripture for what Scripture says, and let's look at this. So what is he saying there? Man was not created for woman, but woman was created for man. What does that mean? In the beginning, God created what? Yeah. In the beginning, God created man, right? When did woman come about? Well, we don't know the exact time, we don't. But we do know this. Woman came after what? Man. Woman was created out of the what? Rib, out of the side of man. Woman was created for what purpose? To be a what? To be a what? And what's a helpmeet? The one to come alongside and follow and join together to fulfill the purpose God had called them to. That's what it is. The idea of Rich and Lori is Lori comes and fulfills and helps Rich live a life in a family unit to please God. Rich needs more help than some, but she's there to help. She's there to be the helpmeet. She's there to come and guide and help and sometimes even push Rich in the right direction, but is to be a helpmeet, is to come alongside, to be able to encourage, to be able to say, hey, honey, you're doing good. Keep on going. To be that cheerleader in the sense, to be there to help fulfill the needs and the responsibilities and the things within the home, to be able to do things so they can come together serving God together. Do you know what makes a successful home and one that pleases God? It's following God's design. Okay, I told you it's going to get controversial in our world today. But God has created man. God has created a woman. God didn't create anything else. Okay, that's the truth. That's what it is. There's man and there's woman. Well, you don't know, preacher. I have these feelings, let me tell you. And I was born with these feelings. Yeah, you were born a sinner in need of a Savior. Repent and turn to God and get salvation in Him. Because that's not from God. That's from this world. Because God has never talked about anything else. God has talked about man and woman. God has talked about homosexuality as a sin. It's talked about that Sodom and Gomorrah was destroyed because of it. The Bible talks about it throughout the Old Testament and New Testament. That it defiles the temple of the Holy Ghost. And God has created man and God has created woman. Man and woman come together and they don't give 50-50, by the way. They give 100-100 and then you throw God in there, you put God in there too. That's how you have a good home, following God's design. And God has put that together and he says, you have to understand, this is God's purpose and this is God's design. And man was not created for the woman, but the woman was created for the man. Now some of you got this right. Man really needed help. God knew it. All right? Because God knew, and there's some truth to this, God knew man couldn't do it by himself. He needed God, but he needed a helpmeet. I want to be honest this morning. I'm glad God's given me a good wife. You ought to be glad God's given me a good wife. Because if it wasn't for her, you'd be in a lot more trouble than you are now. She's toned me down over the years a little bit, all right? She does need to learn how to drive, that's true. But wait a second. The idea is what? God has given us what we need. God knew what we needed. God knew that man needed the woman. But God also knew that woman needed the man. I need no man. Let me tell you, in God's design, yes, you did. Because there are certain things that you might not be able to fulfill because you don't have the, and I'm trying to be as kind, as nice as that, is the ability or the role to fulfill. Because that's not God's design. God's design is for the man to be able to do it. Not that you're lesser, but God has put man there to fulfill things. And put woman there to fulfill things. And this is given, this philosophy, this teaching that is given. And man said, and the Bible says this, For this cause ought the woman to have power on her head because of the angels. Paul also states, now this is interesting. We don't have time to get into this fully. Paul also says the way the woman does things is even being testified by the angels. The angels are watching and seeing. Now, it's interesting to me, because there's a lot of stuff out there. You want to study this out, read this, and some of the thoughts. But the thought is this. Yes, we understand the angels don't have the wills and the things that we do, and we understand what took place in the very beginning, and we understand that that's different than us as men in that. But the angels in this portion are watching, seeing, and the women are a testimony even to the angels. Now, what a picture. Now, the angels could be messengers. Some say they're angels, angels. We're not going to get into and argue about that. The idea is this. What they're doing is being watched. And what we're doing is being watched. Not just by angels, but by this world. And the idea is this, as we see this principle given and this principle defended, and God says, this is my design, he now says, okay, this is being watched, this is the testimony of this all being done. Now, he's going to put it all together. We could spend a lot more time in each of these sections, but now we're going to put it all together here. Look at verse 11, verse 16. Nevertheless, neither is the man without the woman, neither the woman without the man of the Lord. For as the woman is of the man, even so is the man also by the woman, but all things of God. Judging yourselves is comely that a woman praying to God uncovered. Doth not even the nature itself teach you that if a man have long hair, it is a shame unto him. But if a woman have long hair, it is glory for her, for her hair is given her for a covering. But if any man seem to be contentious, we have no such custom, neither the churches of God. You know what it's saying? Satan can't get men maybe to deny or disagree with the Word of God, but he can try to get them to misinterpret the Word of God. And we can get in this whole thing of the hair thing. And the whole idea of the hair in this portion is it's a covering. And I believe it's truly hair, talking about hair. And it's talking about the woman glories in her hair. All right? I'm glad I don't have to glory in my hair because I never have hair. But it's the glory in the hair. It's a covering. And the picture is this. The woman glories in her hair because it's a picture of following God's design and having that proper covering and that proper role. Again, what is he doing? He's illustrating an illustration by illustrating an illustration by illustrating an illustration. Because now he doesn't just talk about the head covering. Now he's talking about the hair and how the hair is a covering and how it shows glory. And if man had long hair, he's not going to bring glory to God. Now what does that mean? Man has to have hair cut above his ears. Man has to have hair cut there. And man has to have this. That's not what it's saying. Is saying that if the man had long hair where it was a covering of his head, it was showing that he was putting himself in a wrong role that he's supposed to put himself. That's what it's saying there, because it's saying if a man is not submitting to the authority of God and not leading his home in the right way, then he's not bringing glory to himself. If he has shaven, if he has a hair covering instead of short hair, shaven hair, then he is reversal of the role. And if a woman has short hair, is shaven hair, and not having the hair covering, she's in a reversal of the role. He's saying that this hair is showing a picture of where you're at and fulfilling your purpose for God. That's what it's saying there. Now, we can take some truths and we can teach about hair out of there, but that's not what it's talking about. I read one commentary, and they didn't talk anything about the portion of Scripture. All it talked about was how women should never have any hair shorter than the shoulders, and men shouldn't have any hair longer than right at the, should not touch the collar. Steve, you're in trouble. Repent. And it should have that. Maybe you can make me a toupee afterwards. And the idea is this. The idea is this. That's not what it's talking about. What it's talking about is this. Yes, we can get some principles and some thoughts from that. But what it's talking about is this. Men, follow God and lead your homes. Women, follow God and submit to the leadership and the authority God's given you and fulfill the purpose God has called you to so you glorify God with your lives. Don't bring shame to your home. Don't bring shame to your community. Don't bring shame to the church. Don't bring shame to the testimony of the Lord. Bring honor and glory to the Lord. And fulfill and do what God has called you to do and understand God's design. Because it all goes back. Look at verse 1 and verse 2 that we looked at last week. It all goes back to this. What does he say here? Be followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. Now I praise you, brethren, that ye remember me in all things and keep the ordinances I deliver them to you. Follow the principles God's given to you. Have the right attitude and say, God, I may not fully understand your design. I might think it'd be better if the woman was a spiritual leader in the home, because we're better. But God, I'm going to follow your design anyways. Men, you may say it would be nice if I didn't have to lead. It'd be nice if I could just sit back and just relax and not have to worry about anything. But that's not God's design. God's design is for you to lead in the community, in the church, and in the home. And God's design is for the ladies to follow the leadership God's given for the whole purpose of pleasing God and glorifying God. Do you know in a home, God has placed me as a leader spiritually in the home for the purpose of what? Leading my home in the right way so my home glorifies God. It's not for any other reason. You know, if I understand that, I'm not going to be mean in the way I do things. I'm not going to put the ladies down. I'm not going to put people down. In the church, God has placed me here as a spiritual leader in the church. The purpose of me being a spiritual leader in the church is to lead in out of love, to guide people in the right direction so we can please God together. It's for me not to put someone down and say, you're not worthy to do. No. It's for us to work together to please God and understand the certain roles and certain places and certain orders of doing things. What the reason is, to glorify God. The purpose of even leadership in our community, and we're not going to get into this, but God's design even in our community and in that, I believe, is man is to be, is to help lead and guide and direct. Not saying a woman can't be involved in certain things. I'm not saying that. But we need that leadership. And we can get in and say, well, how come God did it that way? That's God. But we got to follow God's design. Now, I do know why God doesn't want ladies to be pastors. Because they're not as long-suffering as us men. They're a little more, woo, right to it, right? Some of you are laughing about that. All right, you can laugh a little bit. It's okay. The idea is this. Whoever you are, a man or a woman, realize God has something special for you. No matter what or where you're at, God has something special for you that only a man can do. He has something special only a lady can do. And we're to come together and use our special gifts for the glory of God and to please him in all aspects of our life. Heavenly Father, we love